Jesus, Heiland, meine Seele, lass an deine Brust mich frei, da die Wasser näher rauschen und die Wetter hellen sind. Du, wie gut ist dir vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben, dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in dein Leben stürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf. Führe mich zum Segenhafen, nimm dann meine Seele auf. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben, dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben, ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagend hab ich nur auf dich. Lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben, dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, das kein Ebel mich erschreckt. Mit den Schatten deiner Flügel sei mein wehrlos Haupte. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben, dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnadum, Gnade, volles Segnung sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinigt mich allein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben, dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auch ewig still. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben, dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be.
How beautiful heaven must be.
Sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be, in heaven, oh, drooping.
hoping, not beginning, not wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from the gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on the outstand, there my hope shall be eternal. Beulah, sweet Beulah, I'm looking now just across the river to where my old shall end and sigh. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on the outstand, there my hope shall be eternal. Beulah, sweet Beulah, I'm looking up across the river to where my fate shall end and sigh. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on the outstand, there my hope shall be eternal. Beulah, sweet Beulah, Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on the outstand, there my home shall be.
eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads to ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strain, still guided by the unseen hand. This hand has led through shadows drear, and while it leads I have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin and sorrow there can roam. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strain I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm trusting to that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. He was ein and strong, that's unhappily he flew, placed on the Bastille Deutschland, the strahlenden Glanz, heavy feurige Glut. Wenn ich dieses Wasser bekam, oh, seele, he bete, he come, und sucht diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig, oh, Glaube, es fließt für dich. Wohin diesen Strom sich nur immer gießt, der jubelt und jauchzet das Herz, das nun mehr den köstlichen Segen genießt. Erlöset von Sorgen und Schmerz, oh Seele, ich bitte dich komm und such diesen herrlichen Stab. Sei Wasser fließt frei und mächtig dich, o Glaube, es fließt für dich. Der Strom ist gar tief und das Wasser ist klar, es schmeckt so lieblich und fein. Es heilet die Kranken und stärkt wunderbar, ja, machet die Unreinsten rein. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb, und Glaube, es fließt für dich. Thou the master dost labe, and thou seest this afflute. Though he is so well is that he sees, thy cause but a spoiler, unhidely as blue. Oh, sing the fagots of your day. Oh, say they be teddy car, unsoothed is an early and strong. Sigh, thus at this fry on mehti. Oh, thou bayest bliss at fear thee. Then there's that there come on drink his exa. So rude that their guise don't he brow. Nor there in the shrow make a barsh and see hard. Down on Gacy God as I shall. Oh, say they be daily calm. On soup is an early and strong. Sign by surface fry on mechtily. Oh, cloud be as blues that fear thee.
Well, that's simple. That this here truth, mm-hmm. this here message. Mm-hmm. You will not find nothing out there. I leave you, me, if there was something out there, that's where I would be sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's been fallen our lot, we're just contending with that stream. That stream has always rained. For millions and millions of years, that stream has always run. Here in the church age of Laodicea, it ran through the ministry of Brother Branham. He keeps saying it. Because back in the day, Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life. You believe in them whom I will send. Well, he anointed them. He sent these angels. Seven angels back in Revelation chapter 1. You can go read it. You can prove everything that we're saying here. You can take it back to the scriptures and you'll find it to be exactly so. Like the Bereans. Paul came along with a very strange teaching. He never heard of such a thing before. Because they were from the old, from the circumcision era and all that. And here comes Paul along with his salvation message, and they had a tough time. But they went to the scriptures, and they found everything to be so. And here you can take what you're saying back to the scriptures, and you're going to find out this is exactly 100% right. This is that stream that's been flowing, and it started way back with eternity past. It started when God had himself a big council, and then he put it into motion, and he started creating angels. And we've been over it and over again, but we got to tell it because you're living in a world of major deception. Every time you open your eyes, pure deception. Everything you listen, pure deception. And we're just trying to set the record straight. Here we come with a message and a lot to a lost and dying world. All you simply have to be do it, believe what we're saying, because we're just contending on that stream. We're not doing our own thing here. We didn't wake up one morning and decide that's what we're going to, because we don't have enough intelligence. We don't have enough, there's nothing in us to produce anything that has any eternal value. And so we're the first ones to admit that, but see, we tapped into that stream. That's where we're getting our information from. We have that stream with Jesus said that. This is life eternal. You can get yourself to believe on those seven church age messengers, those seven angels. And then, like we keep saying it over and over again, these seven angels, they were the seven churches. They were the angels to the seven churches of throughout the grace age. And like I said, Paul, he was that first messenger. And then all that angel did, he took these people, these vocal cords of these people, and spoke to them, because you can't trust this thing to a human being. There's tons and tons of preachers out there blowing their steam, preaching, got multitudes listening to them, but they're not true. They're not part of that angelic thing that Jesus said. This is going to be eternal life once I leave. We just got to come under the anointing of these angels. And like I say, here in the closing days of Laodicea, We found that messenger. We heard that angel speak to the vocal cords of Brother Branham. And it's absolutely impossible for a human being to bring out these things that he brought out. Mm-hmm. Went back in the prehistoric, went back and told us what happened in the garden and all these tremendous mysteries and truths that they brought out. And we're just continuing on with the program. That's all we're doing. Now you can make a choice. You come up to the crossroads. You're going to have to make a choice. Whether you believe us or are you going to follow the mucking crowd, the muckers. Like we went the other day to over to Brandon to visit some people in the hospital there. And I don't know why. They know me. They know of me. But we saw, like, when the curtain is rolled back, we saw exactly what they thought of us. We were not, anyway, maybe you were, but I was more or less disregarded. They know what we were about, those people that we met there. And see what God was doing. He sent us over there, and then to see what their opinion is of us. That's all that simple. And their opinion of us was not good, because they've been listening to this gossip trail, you know. There's a lot of gossip out about us, and lies being told, and see what the devil does. He plants it into the hearts of people that we're not what we claim to be. And then they lie up things about mm-hmm. us, and they imagine things. And mm-hmm. see, it's behind it is the spirit of Satan, mm-hmm. because the whole world is encased in deception.
Right.
And lies, they tell lies about it, that it even shocks me, some of the lies. I thought to myself, like that Mike from Somerfell, when I told him about this truth, and I told him about God sent the prophet, and I told him about this baptism in Jesus' name, it's up to death. It's the way to baptize, Acts 2:38, and your baptism, I said, is of the devil. You've been baptized in that Trinity baptism, you're making yourself a pact with the devil. I told him all that, and then the penalty for me was, you got till sundown to get out of here. You're not going to sell us your garbage. Well, after a while, you know, you just leave it with the Lord. The Lord's vengeance is mine. So what you do? Well, Lord, you deal with them, and then the Lord's dealing with them. They know for a fact that what I was telling was 100% the truth. But see, instead of owning up, instead of confessing, instead of realizing, and yeah, maybe we need to look at that. Maybe we should go look at it. But see, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. They justify themselves. Mm-hmm. And the low of it is, the low down of it all is, you know what he did? He went and told everybody that, oh, he didn't want his family anymore. So he set it up so he would communicate, so he would terminate. See, that's how low down. You only can get that kind of idea or information from Satan himself. And these mm-hmm. people, I keep telling everybody that these people are not of God, and they think I'm crazy. They think I'm blaspheming. But believe you me, if they were of God, I'd be still sitting there, because all I ever wanted was to know this great God, and that great God is not in that Hunterite colony. It's the spirit of Satan that's driving that thing. And it took that man from Forest River colony. These Forest River people, they were always a little bit different, you know. They were always out there searching and trying their level best to do something godly. They would go wherever there was a movement, wherever there was something going on, they would be there. Like back in the 60s, that Claire Jordan, he was a big man back in America, that Claire Jordan from Georgia, and he's got a community down there at Cananea, and the Forest River cult, they spent a lot of time there down there. And see, they were always kind of, they were always into that kind of stuff. And then here, the Lord saw that, and he gives that Joe Mandel, he was the ringleader of that. He was pushing the evangelistic thing and all that stuff. And he was right on cue. And here, the Lord gives him a nod of the Bundy experience, and all of a sudden, he faces reality. Lets them see reality for what it is, and he takes them over in the other side, and he looks at it, and he comes back, and he finds out that other right thing is not, he was just wasting his time. All the effort he put in, he found out It's just a waste of time. That's He's being deceived. He's being duped into thinking that that other thing is it. So what does he do? He promised that angel, he begs and pleads for another, I'll go back and I'll warn these people. So that's exactly what he did. A few months later, he recovers, and then he comes back, and the first thing he does, he tells his people about this experience that he had. He said, that other thing is just deception. There's nothing there. We're being duped. And because he saw reality for what it was, but see what they did, and now all of a sudden that thing, that drive that they're on, it's facing reality. Now they got to make a decision. Are we going to listen to what he said and say that other thing is not it? Or are we just going to continue to believe a lie and live in this Lula land, you know, this imaginary life? And they had to make a decision that his son, that Joe, he was preaching, that his brother was preacher. They took a look at that thing, and then you have to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe that Joe that just had that out of the body experience, or are you going to just decide you don't want it? You would rather believe a lie. And here, apparently, they just decided they're going to close the books on that chapter, on that Joe Mandel chapter, that out of the body experience chapter, and they're just going to continue down there, and just continue to be another Hutterite. Because that when you realize that is nothing, but he said, you're out of a job because you got to change. You got to put your life on the line because here's the man come back from the dead and he's telling them it's nothing. The thing has been taken away from his eyes and he's seeing reality for what it is. Well, see, these people down there, all of a sudden, they're not interested in this holy rolling thing anymore, and he stopped dead in their tracks. And then I know what I'm talking about because I went down there and talked to that Joe, that preacher, and he didn't want to talk about it. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out why wouldn't they want to talk about it. I told them exactly what I found what their dad was looking for, what their dad was wanting to find, and the fish didn't bite because, see, they had processed it in their mind, and when they came out and finished processing, that what my dad did said is not going to work here in our program, and it's no room for him, and I couldn't talk to them about it, and I could tell the door was shut. There's no use going in there when the door is shut. And then I'd like talk to that Jonty, and I talked to and I talked to that Joe, and then I found out that preacher, that Paul Mandel, he's got some nephews, these here from Rosedale, they're up in that Brenham church. And they send them books and books and books and try to talk to them about this messenger that God sent a message, William Branham. Because they're still up in the church out there, that they refuse to move on themselves. But anyway, they sent them books and they went down there, visit with him and talk with him right across the table. And left some literature there, and he said he'd take that literature. It's only good for toilet paper. That's all it's good for. See, he rejected that because they looked at it. And they decided they're going to continue to believe this lie. Exactly what it says over in 2 Thessalonians. They did not find any room in their heart. Their heart was so hard and callous and brainwashed, they found no room in their heart to receive truth. And then what God does, if you can't accept truth, what God does, he'll send you a strong delusion that you're going to believe that other right thing is it. And there they go. They go back in their cesspool and believing and thinking that they're going to, if it don't work, we'll make it work. And they try to make this other right thing work. And when it's not meant to work because it's not of God. It's of the devil. It's first-class communism. If you line it up with socialism and communism, that's that Hutterite system. First-class socialism. You got no rights. You got nothing. The laity had nothing to say about nothing. It's all engineered and controlled by the leadership, and the leadership is controlled by Satan. It's just that simple. The Holy Ghost has no room in there because it's just that simple. And here I found that out, and I heard that man, I saw the tears in his eyes, like I keep repeating it, because I saw the agony that his soul must have gone through, coming back from having that out of the body experience, and trying to tell the people that they know very well, they're not going to accept it. And one after another, they just kept rejecting it and rejecting because it came up to my dad. It came to people that thought they had a drive to affect that Forest River colony back in the day. Always they were going, always having a drive to go after evangelistic things. But now here, the Lord takes the wraps off and he tells them and shows them exactly what this whole thing is about. That outright thing is not real. It's not it. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. He didn't speak as plain as I do because I went through it and I looked at it and I observed it and I came to the conclusion that is exactly it because the Lord woke me up one day saying I'm coming soon and then he gave me that scripture prepared to meet the Lord. Things one after another and then he led me. Eventually it was journey. He journeyed beyond and eventually did bring me to the ministry of Brother Branham out in Vancouver at the Cloverdale Bible Way And from there, I just went on galloping on. I was just following that stream. I didn't know there was such a thing as a prophet or a messenger or anything like that. But see, I searched and I longed and I realized when I look back now, it was all the Lord's doing. He just put the desire in me and then for the longest time, I was all by myself because sometimes somebody would come on board for months or a few years and things like that. But eventually, they couldn't handle the truth, so I guess they do exactly what that Forest River colony did. They looked at it and they didn't fit their pattern and they decided they're going to go back and support the Hutterite thing. And that's exactly what happened. And that now here in this end time, we're just bringing it out because the other day I couldn't sleep, like I told you the other day, and then the Lord reminded me of that Joe Mandel's episode. And I looked in on the Hutterite thing and I said, well, there's at least one guy left, that Solomon down there left. He was always into this thing. They called him a greedy of living. But what he was looking for that thing that you and I were looking for. And we didn't know where it's at, but eventually, so as we walked on, the Lord led us to the truth of the day. That's where it's at. This is that stream. If Isaiah and Shalom as an adult, he flute, and if you reject that, and I've seen it over and over again, people that reject it, we send the books and they reject them, and they don't live very long after that. One day you heard, open up the thing and here, they're burying him that day. Things like that. Disaster hits them because if you reject truth, God cannot do nothing for you because if you reject the truth for your day, there's only one thing left for you. You gotta go out to hell and that. And this is not a very popular message that you and I have, but you got to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be playing the game anymore. Like that those people that we went to see on Saturday there, and they've been playing the church game, you know, the pretending game and all that, but they were not going to accept the truth that we had to see. Mm-hmm. We saw them there with undressed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Spiritually undressed, and they were not interested in what we had to say. That's right. They're naked, wretched, poor, and miserable. You could see it, their faces. Mm-hmm. They're very miserable people because they're not moving on. They're not part of that stream. There's no fire in their life. There's no spark in their life. And they're dead, they're miserable, they're blind, they're naked, and they're wretched. And then it goes on, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold. See, if there would have been a hunger, they would have asked us. Because they know about us. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. But they rather would believe lies about us than find out the truth. That's the whole problem with a lot of people. Like when I go back in my life, how God gave me such a hunger and a desire to find out the truth, because I knew that Hutterite system was not it. I knew that was not the way to heaven. And God put me on a search, and that hunger that he put in me led me right to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And whenever I told people like about Brother Branham, he went off in the end. See, they would rather believe a lie than go find out the truth about what he actually said. And if it was not so, that serpent seed is true. A serpent seed, what happened in the garden, it happened. But people are so proudful and so arrogant that they cannot accept that they're sinners. That they are actually from that fallen creature there in the garden, what happened when they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they cannot acknowledge that. And that's the first part, acknowledging that you are part of that descendant. and you need a Savior. You need a Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit can lead and guide you into all truth, and you will accept truth. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people, they cannot accept truth. Like I said, they would rather believe a lie about us because that lie makes them feel like they are superior.
Holier than thou.
Uh-huh. They're superior, and then they don't have to go pursue it. And then they miss out on God's blessings. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the truth for the day. And that's why this world is in such a darkness, in such deception, because the devil has managed to blind people and keep them content in whatever system of religion they are. Mm-hmm. Like that Hutterite religion, it's deception. When you look at it, you compare the things that they do to the scripture, and you will find a lot of the things that they're doing are not biblical.
Amen to that. And we're just going to continue on with the truth. It's the truth that sets people free. Mm-hmm. We're telling people the truth. So we just want to pray that God will open up their eyes. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord, once again this morning, Lord. I just pray you'll give us the wisdom how to execute this very important subject, to convince the people that this is not our program, that you have honed us out from before the foundation of the world. You knew exactly what you were doing before the foundation of the world. You did exactly what you did to Ezekiel. You told Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman." Here's the same thing, but that's because we're bringing it into today's platform, Lord. They refuse to believe it. They think we're some troublemaker, but Lord, we're just trying our level best to express the things that you've allowed us to walk through, to express the things you've allowed us to see, the fact, Lord, that you brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham, Brother Jackson. We're just trying to express the only, our very thing, our very existence depends on that, that we'd be faithful at the end of the day. Looks like that. Like that Joe Mandel, when you give him life again, he restored him, and all his passion, desire was to go out there and tell a lost and dying world that thing is not it, because he was always concerned about the well-being of children, of the whole Hutterite system. And Lord, he tried his level best, did what he could, and eventually he had to go leave this world without ever having found it. But you give it to us. You gave us that responsibility to continue on with the program, Lord. And we're just asking you, Lord, to help us to say the things in such a way that it will resonate with the hearts of the people. Because we realize, Lord, that after this is over, the judgment seat, the judgment day is just looming on the horizon here. It could break out any day, Lord. There's all this chaos that is promised us in your Bible, in the book of Revelation. All these woes and are all coming. We're just bumping right into it, and there's a lost and dying world that refuses to accept the truth, Lord. All we're trying to do, Lord, is that ask you that you would open up their heart and their understanding, that they would do something about their own salvation, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase, and you just continue, Lord, that you would use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And there's so much today, like we used to have 2-3 hour sessions, but the Lord shifted gears, and your attention span isn't that good that you can handle it 2 hours at the top. So he told us to just have short sessions, half an hour sessions, and give people a chance to meditate and to think about the things we're saying throughout the day. And we could only do so much, and each one has to have a concern for their own salvation, right, and for the children and for their children, because if they put their effort in, God will see to it that their children come on board too. I don't know how he does it, but he promised in his word that he'll do it. He told that jailer there, if you can only believe, you and your whole household will be saved. He told that to Rahab. He told that to that Ethiopian that they met out there in that, I think it was Philip that met him out there, mm-hmm, in that room, in that chariot. And as he said, he told that Ethiopian, if you can believe, your whole household will be saved. And that's what we're doing. If you can get yourself, if you can only get yourself to a place where you can believe what we're saying here. It's that same message that Philip told that Ethiopian. And he went back to Ethiopia and he converted his whole family, probably that whole township, probably that whole country was saved. Converted because he went back there and told them. And here's the same thing. It's not our, Why aren't people telling their friends and their relatives and their neighbors? Because they don't believe it. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to put their life on the line. You got to be willing to put your life on the line. Right. You got to be willing to lose it all for this year, cause. But see, people, they hear about gossip. They think this is a sexcapade that you and I are about. They think it's a Shekinah program. Because back in the day when the Lord saved me, I got into some kind of an episode, and this girl, she accused me of attempting to rape her. Well, then I went and warned that couple about whatever. You heard my testimony already. Anyway, they, instead of owning up, instead of recognizing the, instead of doing, they do exactly what that Mike from some fellow, instead of coming out and coming clean, what they do, they accuse me of attempting to rape her. And that was not even the case. And see, and then what happens, people believe it. And I know people are going to believe that because it's their word against mine. So of course, they got the whole countryside coming that I was trying to attempt to rape her. Well, I thought to myself, well, there's nothing I can do. I'll just leave it with the Lord. It's vengeance is mine. I'll repay it. And I just went down the road alive, just like all I did was warn them and then about some episode. And like I say, instead of owning up, all they would have had to do was own up, try to justify themselves. And then they turned it around. Me, oh, I was trying to attempt to rape her. And then, well, like I say, you leave it with the Lord. And as time goes on, they got everybody convinced that that's exactly what happened. And I know people believed them. They didn't believe me. They believed them. And it got to the point, you know, I was an electrician at that Riverside colony. And you know how these young girls, they thought, I'm open for sex. I'm open for attempting to rape them. So what they do, they called me home to their house. They said their lamp isn't working. You know, they had a lamp, and they said, because I was an electrician, they asked me to come home and fix their lamp. Well, I went home and fixed their lamp. And see what they were doing. They believed that couple that said I attempted to rape. So they figured, I'm available for sex. It's just that simple. Because they were coming up to you, they were along the 13, 14, 15, and they believed that lie, and to the point where they thought I'm available for sex, and then they set it up. So I went home and I looked at the lamp, and here, oh, it wasn't about the lamp. It was about, they were wanting to have a sex thing going with me because they believed that lie that couple said to me. And now that whole countryside, that whole Hutterite, they're believing that lie. Well, I just leave it with the Lord. Lord, you know exactly what's going on here. A few years back, I found out she got cancer. And then I figured, well, I should warn her family at least. So I put out the book, Finally, the Freedom to Tell People the Truth. And then I put that whole, my whole testimony about what happened back then. And, but see, they were so brainwashed, so believing the lie that they're convinced that lie is true. And they go down the road of life believing the lie. But see, judgment was on them, and then they died. He got the diabetes, and died from diabetes, and then she died from lung cancer and bone cancer. And then to prove that that's exactly right, they had two boys, and the two boys, they don't have any children. God shuts that whole program down and brings a curse on them because they told a lie. They bring judgment on themselves. And to this day, the very people that we go and warn them, if they reject it, you can see judgment coming out like that lady that we saw the other day in a wheelchair. You'll be trying to talk to her forever and a day, but they choose not to believe it. Mm-hmm. They still think, to this day, they're brainwashed thinking that you and I, this is a Shekinah program. They can't get beyond that lie, because they've convinced themselves that this is a lie, that you and I are living living in that sex program, and the Shekinah program, and that all that garbage, you know, we can't convince about it. Why? Because somewhere along the road of life, they reject the truth. They rejected the fact that God did send the prophet. And you got to deal with that eventually. And then they decide it's easier to believe the lie. Mm-hmm. So what they do, they continue down that road and that pattern that they'll believe the lie. It's mm-hmm. easier to believe a lie than to go and search it out and take responsibility for their own action and seek their own salvation with fear and trembling. So what did they do? Jesus teaches us to believe a lie. That's and then right. Once you believe the lie, what God does, he gives them a strong delusion and he solidifies mm-hmm. that they lie, that they actually eventually believe that lie.
That's right. That's how it works. If people do not have not received a love for truth, that the person, no matter what, he's going to find out the truth. That's a love for the truth, and you're going to pursue it. And if you don't have that, then what God does, he overgives you to a strong delusion, and mm-hmm. then you believe lies. And that's where people die. And then oftentimes, because God sees that, mm-hmm. and then he will purposely make it so appear like he mm-hmm, puts exactly. us together mm-hmm. and then people in their own derogatory mind mm-hmm. they think the worst and then they believe that lie. And God does it in such a way as, okay, I'll give you a lie to believe in.
Yeah.
He puts us together, and that's the first thing that people think, and that's what condemns them in the end, because they believe a lie and it condemns them.
And they were all around back in the days of Peter, mm-hmm. and you can see it that back in the days of Jude called them they're like brute beasts. They talk about things that they're completely clueless of. And they're like brute beasts, and there with that they defile themselves. That's exactly what's mm-hmm. going on around us. We're bringing everything down in today's thing, where everything is so confused and so perverted and so deceiving. Deceiving spirits, deceiving and being deceived, and we're just trying to put the record straight. We're about the Lord's business. We're not interested in that sexcapade garbage that they accuse us of. Never were and never will be. But see, the devil, what he does, he works in their minds, because God gives them an opportunity. Here's the truth of the matter, and then, like you were saying some time back, when you heard about it, when that lady was trying to tell you stories about me, he said, well, I don't believe it. That's not the same I know. See, what you did, you have a love for truth. You didn't believe a lie. She was trying mm-hmm. to feed you, continue with that lie, you know, and then mm-hmm. and then they believe it themselves. So what they do, they try to bring others on their mm-hmm. on their bandwagon, and they want you to believe that same lie, and therefore they defile themselves and they condemn themselves. And out to hell and death they go. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. There's no other place for them to go besides hell and death. And if you believe that lie, you're going out there yourself, because we're about the Lord's business. We don't care about all that other garbage that they accuse us of. And that's just the way it is here. And we're just telling people the truth. Like I said, time and time again, I've been accused of things that I completely shocked that people would even think about it. Like that preacher Mike, over there from Sommerfeld, and eventually he believed his own lies, you know, and then he dies with gout and cancer of every description. Before he does that, the Lord takes his wife off the scene, and she died from lupus, and judgment after judgment is coming upon her, and they're too proud to admit that maybe they should look at it. Because I begged and I pleaded with them back in the day when I had that meeting with them with these preachers and these other colleagues. I begged them, pleaded, I said, you're going, when you build a kitchen, you go all the way to Alberta to look for the best, this isn't good enough, but you can't even take a look and see if this is not true. Oh, we don't have to listen to you. You're not going to tell us nothing. Our forefathers did it this way, and you're not going to convince us otherwise. Well, I said, well, that's your problem, not mine. I told them the truth, and they decided to reject the truth, and there God gave them over a strong delusion. In fact, eventually, as time goes on, they all believe the lie, and that whole colony over there, they believe in that lie too. And I can't convince them. It's not my job to convince them. The Lord set it up that way, and you believe a lie. That's why back in the day of Jesus, you know, Jesus, if you step back and you analyze it, Jesus was conceived before Mary was married to Joseph. So what Satan does, he convinces people that Mary was born out of, Jesus was born out of wedlock, because it threw it right in their face, the scribes and the Pharisees, when he was confronting with them there and having a conversation. Then he said, we be not born out of fornication. In other words, you were born out of wedlock, and you're not going to tell us what to do. And it's the same thing. They got this, the Satan has got their mind so programmed that this is a Shekinah program, that they believe that lie because of it. It says, God will give them over to a strong delusion that they will believe a lie, and with that lie, they're going to be condemned with it. It's nothing foreign to you and I, what's going on out there, simply because of the scripture. They found no room in their heart to believe the truth. And then God just gave them over to a depraved mind, and they believed the lie. And there with that lie, they're being condemned right in front of our very faces here. We see it on a daily basis where people reject the truth, and they throw the books out, and they tear them up, and they see us sit down, they mock us, and they make fun of us, but God set it up that way to see exactly what's in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're just continuing on. We're part of that stream, and if you can get yourself to believe the truth, and instead of believing the lie, you can come on that stream, and you'll find out one thing: you're going to end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and not only you, your whole family structure. If you can only break away from these lies and these false accusations that they get about us. And we're about the Lord's business, and we're continuing on with the program. God set it up that way. And he gives you an opportunity to search these things out, and he gives you an opportunity. You either believe a lie or you believe the truth. It's just out there for each and every individual. That's why everybody has to seek their own salvation and with fear and trembling. There's hardly anybody that ever comes, what do you have? What is this all about? What are you trying to say? Not one of them will come. Mm-hmm. They would rather believe a lie, and then they'd bring, the Bible says over in Jude, you can go read it. They're like brood beasts. They talk evil of things that they're completely clueless of, and with that they defile themselves. When you defile yourself with a lie, you just go out. There's only one place for you to go. Out to hell and death, and we're just warning people. It's right here in our very, right at our fingertips, and people are doing it on a wholesale level. They would rather believe a lie than the truth, and we're just telling people the truth, exactly what the truth is. We're telling them people the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. They can take it or leave it.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and give you thanks, Lord, for the truth that you presented in this hour, Lord, and that you allowed us to receive it, Lord. We give you thanks for that. And we just pray for people, Lord, that you'll help them, Lord, that they'll not reject truth, Lord, so that they'll not be overtaken by a strong delusion, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that they'll have a fear, Lord, a fear of you, Lord, and the consequences of rejecting truth, Lord. We just pray for them that they'll be able to receive it, Lord, that their hearts might be right, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.